It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now, open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, go in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. Conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you need more information, call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, I sit down with Zach Fisher. He recently won for the first time on the Korn Ferry Tour. It was his first win as a professional. It came on the Korn Ferry Tour at the Acunet Classic presented by Amarillo National Bank. He actually had his lowest round on the Korn Ferry Tour during that tournament when he shot a 62. Yeah, that is golfing your ball right there, no doubt about that. I'm going to talk with Zach after the break. Stay with us.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Justin Akery. If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Zach Fisher grew up in Texarkana, Texas, played golf for Texas High in high school, then went to UT Arlington and turned professional. He knew at a very young age he wanted to try and play on the PGA Tour. He has, but he hasn't had a full card on the PGA Tour. He's very close to that, and he hopes he can reach that goal that he set a long time ago in life. On the tee, Zach Fisher. Zach, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Been wanting to talk to you for a long time, but first off, congratulations. First win on the Korn Ferry Tour. That had to feel special.
Oh, man. It was awesome. Too cool to have the family there with me in the same way. It was just a... It was an awesome experience being from Texarkana, the other Texas side. And then just, I feel like everybody still adopted me from Texas. And so it was really, really cool. And Amarillo is kind of the size of Little Rock. So the whole city turned out for it. And it was awesome. It was really cool.
Playing in Amarillo, the wind never stops.
Never stops. It was crazy because the first round, it blew out of the south for us. I played early, and then it totally switched in the afternoon, and it was out of the north, and it actually switched right in the middle of my round. I started on the back. I was walking to the first hole, and I look at my caddy, and I'm like, why is the wind now? It should be in, and all of a sudden, now it's down off the right, and in that little five-minute walk, it had switched. It was absolutely crazy.
What were your emotions like when you won? I mean, you knew, okay, champion, this first Korn Ferry event, like you said, family's there and everything. I'm sure it was a pretty special moment.
It was crazy. Being, 36 years old, playing the tour on and off for like the last, 12 or 13 years, whatever it's been. I know basically everything that comes with winning. And it's back when I first started playing golf, ignorance is bliss. You're just going out there trying to put the ball in the hole. But, as you get older, you get bills, you get kids, you have a wife. There's a lot more that goes along with life. And I knew what a win would mean. It gives me 10 years of status on the tour, guarantees next year, not to mention the good financial payday. There's a lot that goes with it. So it's a lot more difficult to win when you're an older person, an older guy, more veteran than it is when you're young and you're just right out of college. And like I said, you're ignorant. You don't know anything.
Let's go back to when you first picked up a golf club. When was it and when did you really just fall in love with the game of golf?
So you'd have to go back and talk to my parents about this. So I don't know the details perfectly, but my dad, he started playing golf when he was 16. And when I was one or two, my dad loves golf, loves it. And he would come back from the golf course, and I knew what he had done when I think I was two and a half. And I would grab like a little plastic spoon. My parents had like ping pong balls or plastic balls, and I would just slap them around the house and just say golf, 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 golf. And so my dad, when I was four, was like, well, I'm just going to take him out and see what's going to happen. And we went to, it was called South Haven Golf Club. Now it's called New Haven in Texarkana. And that's where I played my first round of golf. And he actually kept score. And I still have the scorecard. And I think it was 192.
Oh, wow.
Is what I shot. But yeah, and so that's where the whole love of everything started. I started playing tournament golf when I was six on the Arklatex Tour. And yeah, it's... I've always loved it. My dad made me make a decision when I was 11 because I played baseball and I played golf. Those were my two main sports.
Was it a tough decision to make?
It was and it wasn't because I hated baseball practice. I think everybody hates baseball practice. It's 100 degrees. Like, you're just sitting out there and, like, everybody, you got one guy batting or you're fielding and, I mean, you're 11. Like, let me go eat a popsicle. Let me go inside. And so it wasn't that hard to make, but I did come back when I was 23 and I played church softball, and it almost kind of made me regret not playing baseball.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm not quite the build. I mean, I'm 6 foot, but I'm not, I mean, you got to be a giant now when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, you really do. So golf, high school golf, did you play for Texarkana?
Yeah. Texas High. Yep. Yeah. In Texarkana. We had a great team.
Seems like they're always stacked.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, they have a driving range now at the golf at the on campus.
Crazy.
Like, what the heck? Why didn't we have that when I was there?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, they're really good. My swing coach Jeff Jones, he's mentored pretty much all the players that have come through that. I guess the one of the better schools in Texarkana now. In Pleasant Grove also was really good whenever we were there. Sean Romero was at that school, and he's a really really good player. And so, yeah, we've had a really good but, I mean, there's nothing to do in Texarkana. It's either get in trouble or play sports. It's like the two things. I mean, we have a ton of athletes that have come through Texarkana because you literally have nothing to do.
Pretty special golf course, though, in Texarkana.
You're telling me.
Texarkana Country
Club. I mean,
wow.
It's in my top five, I think, of every course I've ever played. And it just seems like it always stays there. I go back there, and I'm like, man, this place is just so awesome. And they're building a new practice facility, which is – I mean, it looks incredible from the renderings. So I can't wait to see
where
that looks
like. Where are they going to put
it? So there's tennis courts.
Yeah.
Used to be.
Right.
Now they took all the tennis courts, and I think there's going to be three greens, maybe like a little putting course. Yeah, it looks incredible from the renderings.
Best score you've ever shot at Texarkana Country Club?
Best score ever shot is 63.
Whew.
But it was trumped by Sean when he shot 61.
Yeah. was it a competitive round?
No.
Or was it you guys just out there playing
it
around?
It was just out there. It was out there playing, but it was like, I think it was right after they had the club championship. So the course was in great shape.
It always is.
I know. It's awesome. Kenny, the superintendent down there, just does a phenomenal job. And then Art, I mean, he's just a one of a kind. He's just an awesome guy.
I was going to say, you talk about Sean Romero, but his dad, Art, what does he mean to Zach Fisher?
Oh, man. So basically, whenever I turned professional, I needed a good place to play golf. I was living in Texarkana at the time, and so he gave me a job out there. And the job was essentially like just cleaning carts and just something simple, but he gave me free rein to basically make my own schedule, which gave me the opportunity to become a really elite golfer and helped me meet a lot of really fine people out there. And it's a special place in my heart just because of the opportunity he gave to me. And then, I mean, I can text him right now, and if I'm headed down there, he's always more than happy to welcome me and let me come out and practice because my parents still live down there, and my grandmother's down there. And so, and for whatever reason, Little Rock's weather can be just crazy during the winter, and it can be maybe 65 down there, and it'd be 35 here. So it's an hour and a half from Benton where I live, and so I can drive down there and practice down there. So it's awesome.
Easy trip down 30.
Yeah, sometimes those diesels do not get out of the way, though.
They don't. You're right about that. You're exactly right about that. When you decided to go to college, what was that selection process like, and how did you end up deciding on UT Arlington?
Yeah, so that's a good question, because I was really, really good my sophomore year in college, and the way they pick people out now for college is totally different than it was whenever I was in school. But sophomore and junior year was your main recruiting year. Well, my junior year was a disaster. I mean, heck, I almost like quit playing golf at that point. And basically, I just was sending mass emails out to colleges just trying to get them to look at me. And so I was reached out to UT Arlington with Jay Reese, and I got a message back, and he's like, well, we have a place for you. There's no money available. Gonna have to, you know, probably walk on. Well, then my senior year, I had one of my better years in golf, and so all of a sudden now I'm getting offers from UT and Arkansas at McMakin. But McMakin and Jay Reese, my coach, were best friends, and so I had committed to UTA, but I hadn't signed anything. And Jay Reese was like, McMakin, you better not take that boy away from me. And so I had the option to go to Texas, which was my dream. I love Texas. UT is the school that I like the most. And I just turned down Coach Fields and was like, look, I'd already made a commitment to UTA, and probably one of the better decisions I ever made in my life, because I may have not ever played for UT. I mean, that's a mecca of golf. And I was good, but like I mean I wasn't the typical, you know, bomb it kid, and I hit it really straight, and I may have, you know, taken on a lot more challenges instead of I stepped right in and played at UTA. We had a great team, but it was just the perfect fit for me.
Playing at UT Arlington, there's some pretty good golf courses around there that you guys get to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got to go out to Colonial a couple of times. Our main course was Water Chase, and it's a really, really good public course. And back then, the McLean Center was involved with Water Chase, and so we had free reign of that place. They have like a par 3 course and a wedge area, and it was an incredible area. And then there were a couple of courses I don't even think exist anymore. They turned into housing projects because mm-hmm. that place has exploded.
It has.
But yeah, it was a phenomenal place to get better.
Zach, when did you know that you wanted to try and become a professional golfer, make it to the PGA Tour?
I mean, ever since I started playing golf, I told everybody I wanted to be a professional golfer. That was the one thing I told Jeff Jones, my swing coach. I was like, he was like, what do you want to do with what we're going to try to do? And I'm like, I want to be a professional golfer. I want to play on the PGA Tour. And he goes, you don't want to play or you want to win? And I was like, well, I want to play. He's like, well, let's try to get to that point where we can, you make that happen. And, so yeah, it was when I was 11 years old. It was one of my dreams. I even told a guy, I think it was in 7th or 8th grade, they came across with these tests, you know, what you're wanting to do when you grow up. And he's like, going through the list, I'm like, I want to be a professional golfer. And he's like, you know the odds of possibly becoming a professional athlete? And I was like, I still want to be it. And so yeah, it's always been one of my goals, and it's really cool to finally have won on a professional tour at this level.
Yeah, you've played all over the world professionally. PGA Tour Latin America, PGA Tour Canada, PGA Tour Americas, Korn Ferry Tour, where you just won. You've played on the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not an easy job, is it?
No, it's not, especially when you have a family. Like, that's – my wife is honestly the rock, and that's – she. It should be me, but she is unbelievable, and she's pushed me to – stick with it even whenever I thought I should probably stop, and which is, without her, I definitely wouldn't have kept going. And I think that every single athlete has some sort of story like that where someone has helped them, but I have multiple people that have helped me along the way, which is, I mean, that's a huge blessing in itself.
Have you ever thought where you would be right now if you would have decided, okay, maybe this isn't for me?
I don't know. I mean, I've thought about quitting multiple times, and honestly, the thought of quitting has scared me from quitting.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what am I gonna do? I have no idea. I mean, God would have provided. He would have figured out a way. He always knows what I'm supposed to do, and for a reason that He only knows. And I know that He wants me to represent Him in every single way in what I do, which happens to be golf right now. And if that's not golf in the future, I mean, I'm just going to follow Him wherever I go.
I remember back trying to qualify for U.S. Open. I mean, they get 10,000 entries a year. It's probably up to 12,000 now. And I remember I got an email, and it was from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, I'm making yardage books at Hot Springs Country Club
mm-hmm.
for not the – sectional. I mean, this is like regional qualifying.
Yeah.
Where did that love come about of making yardage books and hand drawing your own yardage books?
So I got to give this all to Patrick Sullivan. So Patrick Sullivan, he was trying to design a yardage book for Pleasant Valley. He had several holes. I don't know how many he had rendered. So he sends me a picture of what he has for number three. And I think it's like the coolest thing ever. So I'm like, well, how'd you do this? And he's like, you download a program called Inkscape, and, you know, you take screenshots and draw over it. And so I thought it was really cool. Well, then he lost all of the files. His computer crashed.
Oh, no.
And so ended up, I got to do the one for Pleasant Valley. Now they have a tour yardage book. So unfortunately, it's not available anymore. But I still have done the one for Mall Mill. But I figured out that once I could do little yardage, or, you know, really nice yardage books, I'm like, well, I can make small ones for myself, because I do Monday qualifiers a lot. A lot of these places don't have yardage books. And even though it doesn't have, you know, slopes and topography and all that, I can draw it on all in there, but I could at least make it to where I have the greens gridded and everything's to size. And it doesn't take me a long, long time now. Back when I did the Hot Springs one, yeah, that was a project, because we didn't get to use rangefinders back then. That was one of the reasons I wanted it, was because I'm like, man, I need to know where the sprinklers are. I need to know how far, you know, it is from the sprinklers. Because I was playing, I don't even remember what year that was, but I was on the tour at the time. And I'm like, used to having the front number. And so I'm like, well, we'll do it that way. And it's always been kind of a love. And I still really enjoy it, even if, I think I'm going to try the John Deere in a few weeks. And I got a yardage book from that which I had made several years ago, and it helps, because I'm like, man, I can just go pull it out of my thing. I think I probably have 500 yardage books at this point. Like, it's crazy.
Wow.
I have I can't think what the place is called, where you have all the boxes and it's all the really nice storage type things. And my wife got me one of those nice storage
container
boxes. Yeah, the container store. That's it.
Yeah.
And so I have like all these little slide out things, and it's have like A to M, and like,
so you got them alphabetical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In there.
How else can you find them?
Well,
it's impossible.
That's right. You can't. I mean, unless you had a number system, like, you know,
right,
the Dewey Decimal system, like you had in the school library.
Man, I'm not smart enough to. I don't even know what that is.
What's next for you? I mean, you have status now on the Korn Ferry Tour
mm-hmm.
for, like you said, several years mm-hmm. now. But I think a goal, Zach, would be to get back to the PGA Tour and earn status there, right?
Yeah, I would love to actually say it was back, but I've never actually had a card.
Never had a card, but
no,
you've played.
I've played
so
many.
Get back to
yeah,
the PGA
yeah,
Tour.
Yeah, exactly, where I can play on a regular basis
yeah.
would be huge. Yeah, so I've qualified for quite a few of them, but I've never had the physical card per se, you know, an opportunity to play every week. And I'm sitting 16th right now, and basically I need probably like 1,200 points for the year, and I'm sitting at like 649, so I'm almost halfway there, and I'm by far the closest and in the best position I've ever been in my career for having that opportunity. So it's really cool, and we'll see what happens. I'm playing really, really well right now, and I'm in a really good mental spot, and my game, my swing is probably the best it's ever been, and I'm excited to see where the rest of the year goes.
I'm excited to see where it goes, too. I know that you can't do it without sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed Simmons Bank is one that has really stepped up and helped you out quite a bit.
Absolutely, yeah. So we started that relationship a few years back, and George Macris, he's just been awesome in making that happen. And then once he stepped down and retired, Jay Brogdon reached back out to me, and we've kept the relationship going, which is really awesome. And I think Simmons Bank is probably one of the coolest stories ever, because my best friend, his great grandfather started the bank.
How cool is that?
Grew up playing at Texas High with him, and his sister's name is actually Simmons. So it's pretty amazing how going all the way back to growing up with him, had no idea that, you know, he had this tie with the bank. And so it's like come full circle, and now, yeah, I'm involved with a bank that his great-great-great-grandfather started.
After you won on the Corn Ferry Tour for the first time, what was the first message you got on your phone?
The first message, man, I looked at my phone and I think I had 120 messages. But ironically, the first person I actually talked to, so I called my swing coach. I mean, this was an hour afterward because they have so many things.
Yeah. You gotta.
Man, it is exhausting. I'm like, how could anyone win and then actually play well the next week? It is crazy.
You gotta sign all these flags. You gotta meet with the media over here. You gotta do this.
I know. And it's like, man, I would do it all over again
if you
give me another win. But man, I mean, we were driving back from Amarillo and I'm like, man, I'm tired.
It's taxing.
Like, it's crazy because everybody's like, man, did it hit you yet? I'm like, no, I'm still driving right now.
right.
But yeah, it's ironically, the first person who I talked to was Cabe, whose great-great-grandfather was Dr. Simmons. And so he was the first person I actually talked to on the phone, which was amazing. I got my phone out and he was calling, and so I answered it. And so we got to talk, which was really cool. That was a really cool thing.
I waited a while to text you. I mean, I knew how much the phones blow up when that happens, but
it's great though. I mean, I wouldn't change it for anything. And the thing is, it's not the first message. It's when you text them, it's thank you, and then they message you back and you're like, man, I went from 150 to now I'm like 162. Like, it's like it's never ending.
It's not going down. I cannot shrink that number. You talked earlier about, you know, you hated baseball practice. Do you like to practice golf?
Yes, I'm much bigger into playing. So, like, Trey, if you came out to me and we were at PV and you're like, hey, man, let's go play nine holes and I'm on the range.
You're in.
I'm in. Like, especially if I've, you know, actually warmed up and hit a few balls, it's like, man, I do not want to be out here, especially in the summertime. Like, it's just brutal. But some days, you know, I need to be out there and I need to work on my drills and all that. But I get a lot more out of playing. I'm not a range rat per se. I'd rather just sit on the chipping green for hours. I think that's a lot more fun.
And I think that's where you can really work on your game, because anybody can get off the tee, you would think. But around the green,
it's huge.
And putting is where you score.
It saves so many shots. If you can just keep your tee shots between the white and the red stakes, I always say it's golf is a lot easier, because people always say it's drive for show, putt for dough. But until you haven't driven it really well, or, you know, you can't keep it inside the golf course, you realize it's drive for dough. Like, and you look at all the stats, it's like, man, the best players in the world drive it really well. The putting guy, like the best putter, I mean, he may not even keep his card, because, I mean, if you can't keep it in play, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
You got to get it to the green before you can start making those putts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like if you're putting for five and someone else is putting for four, yeah, it's going to be really hard to compete.
No doubt about that. Zach, who did you watch growing up? I mean, when the majors were on, this guy's on TV, I'm stopping what I'm doing and I'm watching him.
So I really, really grew fond of David Toms because after David Toms won the PGA, I think it was in 1999, something like that. It was somewhere around there, maybe 2000, whatever it was. My dad's friend walked up to him in Shreveport. I can't remember what golf course it was. He was on the range hitting balls. This is like the week afterward, and said, "Hey, congratulations on your win. And my friend's son is playing. He's a young golfer. Is there anything you could possibly sign for him and just for him to have?" He took his hat off of his head, signed it, and gave it to him. And I thought that was, I mean, that's still one of the coolest stories, I think.
It's pretty cool.
That he would take the time and take the hat that he's wearing off his head and sign it. I still have the hat. I still have it, which is, I feel like it's a mark of, you know, what an actual professional golfer should do. So he was always one of my favorites growing up.
Professional golfers are bound to hit someone in a gallery at some point during a round. If that happens for you, what do you sign? Do you sign a glove? Do you give them a ball? What?
I think I've been glove in the past. Balls are a little sketchy because if you start losing them, you run out.
That's true. That's
but gloves true. Can be replaced.
Well, balls can too, yeah. Once you get back to the clubhouse.
That's right. That's right.
Best golf course you've ever played?
Best golf course, man. That's a really good question. After playing in the British Open in 2023, I realized that golf overseas is way better than any golf here in the States. And that's not sliding any golf courses here in the United States, because I think we have some great ones. But when you play links golf, anybody who's played links golf will say it's the best golf to play. So I've only played one course, but it was Royal Liverpool.
Oof.
And I don't know. I've never played any other ones, but it's got to be my favorite.
That's pretty cool. Zach, fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
I mean, number one has to be Lee Trevino. I mean, what a phenomenal guy. He spoke at the Tech State Amateur one year, and he may be the funniest human being on earth.
I think so, yeah.
And then, you know, I have to put my dad in there, because my dad with Lee Trevino would be a really, really good combo. And I don't know for the third one. I don't know. I mean, I grew up playing golf with my uncle, so maybe I include him on that. I definitely would love to have Lee Trevino. I mean, maybe we just play a twosome. That would be phenomenal. Or a threesome with my dad. That'd be amazing.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. Zach, congratulations again on your win on the Korn Ferry Tour, and best of luck, man.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I'm excited to see what this year brings, and it's cool to finally make it on the podcast. Glad we could make it happen finally.
We did. We did. Glad to have you.
Thanks.
This is Justin Akre. If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
That's all the time for this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. My thanks to Zach Fisher for coming in and sitting down with me. Congratulations again, Zach, on that win. Hopefully it's the first of many wins that you have coming up. Hey, tickets for the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens are on sale now. Go to SimmonsBankChampionship.com. Click on tickets. You can choose your Simmons Bank Championship experience with all of their ticket options right there. There's also spectator information on the website as well. Padraig Harrington was the inaugural winner of the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. Steven Alker won it last year. Who will win this year? You can be there in person to see for yourself. Go to SimmonsBankChampionship.com for more information. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You have been listening to From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.